Hey, fabulous listener. If you want to become a powerful and profitable trauma-informed coach, my business partner, Kushla, and I have a special free 5-day training starting next Monday, April 29th. To join us, you can simply message me the word powerful at Erin Anderson Trauma Coach on Instagram, or on Facebook, you can find me at Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching, and we'll send you the details so you can join us. We're going to be sharing some special training on our body, mind, energy approach to help clients have faster shifts and healing, and how we make a consistent 5 figures each month as trauma-informed coaches. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know may like, make sure you come join us for this 5-day challenge. We're going to be sharing more in there than most paid programs. It's Erin Anderson with the Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. I am super excited that you have tuned in today. Let's get talking about how to heal from betrayal trauma. Welcome to the other side of the struggle. This is a podcast where we talk about trauma, how to heal it, and then how to take it and use it to unlock your mission and your potential, and to use it to live your very best dream life. When you're dealing with betrayal trauma, it can be hard to know how to heal it, how to stop the pain, and to know what your next steps are to take in your own life. And these are the questions that we try to answer here. Trauma has the ability to rob us of our joy and identity, which is why it's so miserable to experience. But with the right tools and with the right mindset, we can totally reclaim that joy and even use this trauma to strengthen ourselves so that way trauma does not knock us off of our joy again. Living your dream life should be a non-negotiable, but trauma tends to try to negotiate that with you. And even though trauma is not something that we will completely ever be free of in our life, the pain is negotiable. This is why I created Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching and this podcast, is because I want my listeners, I want my clients to live, truly live free from the prison that trauma can put you in. I want you to live on the other side of the struggle. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Other Side of the Struggle. So this week we are talking about gratitude and how it heals the broken heart. And obviously, you know, I love talking about gratitude in the month of November and generosity in the month of December, because really these are two things that we can celebrate. Gratitude and generosity both are big keys when it comes to healing past beliefs, healing a broken heart, and finding prosperity in our lives, actually. And so today, like I said, I really wanted to focus on how specifically gratitude heals the broken heart. Now, one of the things I will say is that I think that, you know, living in gratitude is probably one of the number one things that people don't do enough of. And that's not like a judgment or anything like that. And I'm in that category myself. Like, I really feel like one of the things I need to do is up my daily gratitude practice, right? But I know that I hear so much of
like what is not going right in people's lives, and rarely do I ever hear what is going right. So I hear a lot more of what's going wrong than what I do of what's going right. And, but I think that's like a natural human tendency. Like when we see a problem, our brain tends to like hyper focus on it and we want to change it. And so like we give it all of our brain power. But the problem with that is whatever you focus on kind of gets bigger and you create more of what it is you don't want because that's what you're focused on. So today, like I said, when we can shift our focus, because it takes a little bit of effort to try to get some gratitude in, I'm not going to lie. But when we can shift our focuses from the pain to the good, then we have the ability to influence the change that we're looking for in our lives. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you guys about today is choose your card. Okay. Now, I know that can kind of sound a little bit rough and possibly even a little bit mean. And just know that that's not a judgment at all. Again, like I am in that boat with you that I need to choose my heart. I know that sometimes, when things get a little rough in our lives, we think it's really hard to find the good, to find the things that we can be grateful for. So for example, like when I say, you know, say you've got a lot of debt, if you can focus on how you're grateful for that debt, that's hard. Or focusing on, say your husband's got a pornography addiction, how can you be grateful for that, right? That's hard. Possibly there's something else that's really, really painful. It's a pain point in your life. And focusing on how you can be grateful for that pain point is really, really hard. But living with it is also really, really hard as well. Living with the debt, living with the porn, living with that pain point, that's all really, really difficult to do. And that's what I mean by choose your heart. We can choose to focus on how much this stinks, or we can try to find the thing that is actually good about the situation, okay? And it might take some digging, it might take some sifting, but I can promise you that it's there. Because let me say that every person that has done this usually finds wisdom, finds some sort of a message specifically for them. You know, I work with a lot of people who have built empires, really, honestly, off of their pain point. And that isn't to say that, you know, everybody that has a pain point that's found gratitude goes off and makes like thousands of dollars off of that. But the thing is that people in general on this planet are looking for hope, looking for peace, looking for belonging. And when someone heals a pain point in their life, people want that message. This is why I'm saying that people can struggle with this is because it is hard. And not very many people are willing to do the hard thing. But you guys, my audience, are. I know that for a fact. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, right? You guys are willing to do the hard thing, especially my faithful listeners. So let me kind of give you an example of finding the lesson, finding the beauty in the heart. So for example, now those of you that have been following me for a while know that, you know, I've dealt with a lot of really hard things in my life. You know, dealing with a husband's addictions, abuse as a child, betrayal, and a lot of people just kind of casting me aside, throughout my life. And it was really, really hard. It taught me that I wasn't lovable. It taught me that I wasn't worthy. Right? And going back and saying, okay, how can I be grateful for what I went through as a child? Right? Well, number one, because of what I went through as a child, it had taught me what kind of a mom I wanted to be. Instead of putting my brokenness on my kids, which sometimes I did, I don't necessarily do it much anymore, but it caused me to be a lot more accountable to myself because I did not want to pass that legacy onto my kids, right? So I can be really, really grateful for what I went through as a kid because it taught me how to be patient with my own children. I can be grateful for what I went through as a kid as well because it's also taught me how to heal that inner child. I recognized that inner child needed help. And so I went back as my adult self in a meditation one time and picked that child up and loved it. And it taught me the value of giving myself my own love. Had I not gone through that, I wouldn't have that knowledge, that wisdom, right? And it's also taught me like to be grateful for these relationships in a way. You guys have all heard me say that, yeah, I mean, my growing up was a bit rocky. I definitely did not have it as bad as some of you, right? But it was still rocky. But my relationship with my mom is better than it's ever been. And the reason why is because I was able to go back and heal that childhood. That took me having to go back and finding the gratitude. And the reason why is because it anchors you to truth. Truth is the opposite of a broken heart. Gratitude is the opposite of a broken heart because we can be grateful for the truth. The people that are the most anchored in truth are often the most grateful people you'll meet. And because I was able to go back and find those anchors, I was able to come forward from the good. And find that not all of my childhood was completely pointless. I was able to thank my mom for the good things she's done. And she did a lot of really good things too. And I was able to thank her for the bad things too, because they taught me things that I wouldn't have known had she been a perfect parent. I needed that imperfection so that way I could learn also what not to do. I think the what not to do for me personally was just as valuable as the what to do's. But that took me having to go back and doing the hard thing. Now, granted, I think some traumas are not worth necessarily going back to, okay? Because sometimes it can just re-trigger and just re-trigger and re-trigger and re-trigger and re-trigger, okay? And so instead of having to dig through it all, you can say, I was grateful for what I experienced because it taught me this, right? Instead of having to go back and look through everything, just finding one or two or three things can still give you some anchors to your past, okay? So gratitude is one of those anchors. It anchors you. And if you remember the seven pillars, the anchor is the seventh pillar, right? And gratitude is a major component in the anchor. You want to anchor into yourself. You want to anchor into your life. You want to anchor into truth. You want to anchor into light and goodness and peace and joy. Like, these are all things that make us fantastic humans. We want to anchor into that. But it cannot happen if we are not grateful people. It's not possible. Because, like I said, a gratitude is something that is solid. It is something that will keep you from, for lack of a better word, floating away emotionally, mentally, and kind of detaching from yourself. Gratitude is one of the things that teaches you you're a fantastic human, and it really helps anchor you into that truth. So, it also teaches you about love, right? Gratitude is one of the biggest pieces of love that I can think of. See, when we look back and think that our entire past, or like the last 10 years, are wasted, right? That is because we are only seeing, again, the negative pieces. And I'm not saying that they're not there, and not to discount them, right? But remember, we also want to find what was good. Because if there's good pieces, and there are, I promise you, if there's good pieces from the last 10 years or last year, or however long back your trauma has been, then there's also pieces of love. You know, I think about Elizabeth Smart's story, and you guys have heard me talk about her a couple of times now, and how incredible she was and how incredible she still is. And she went through hell in the amount of time that she was with Brian David Mitchell, and Wanda Barzee. Both of them were incredibly horrible to her, right? And, but she has even said, like, finding the good pieces of what she had experienced, focusing on her family while she was being hurt, focusing on all of the things that she loved, all the things she was grateful for, was what kept her sane through that torture. And today, I mean, that's kind of still her message. She talks very much about the gratitude and finding the love, because gratitude is one of those things that connects us to love, the things that we love about our life. So for me, like, if you were to ask me right now, three things I'm grateful for, I am grateful for my kids because I love them. See? I am grateful for my home because I love my home. I'm grateful for my business. I love my business. I love being able to talk about this kind of stuff. This is such an amazing message that I have got to live, and now I get to share it with you. It lights me up. I'm so grateful. I love it. And I love life because of it. I truly do love my life. I love my husband. I love the things that we have built, the things that we're continuing to build. I love my Savior. I love my Heavenly Father. And I'm grateful for every piece that I love. And when we can find more love in our lives, what tends to happen is it covers the cost of our pain. So I want you to think about this for just a second, okay? If you have a negative balance in your bank account, it doesn't change to positive if you're constantly drawing from it, right? Taking more and more out. No, that balance gets more and more and more negative. You have to put deposits back in your bank account bigger than what has been taken in order for you to establish a better financial situation for yourself, right? The same thing happens with our emotional bank accounts, but the deposit are our deposits of love and gratitude. We can be grateful for the things we love. When we find love in even kind of sticky situations, well, that's another piece of gratitude, another deposit in our emotional bank accounts. And eventually, the more deposits you make, it's not such a big deal when we have a withdrawal come our direction. Okay. You guys have heard me talk about just a situation that has happened in my family. And we're still dealing with it. It's gonna probably be a few years actually where we're gonna be dealing with this kind of a situation. It's been kind of rough. But one of the things that therapists and other people that know about our situation have said on a consistent basis is they're just amazed at how well we're actually handling this. And it's not to say that I'm amazing or anything. Well, I am amazing. I do think I'm amazing. I will say that. But I don't say that as a, hey, look at me. That's actually a humility piece that I actually am amazing. But it's because I have that mindset and because I'm making daily deposits of love into my emotional bank account and into my mentality, I'm able to handle this situation with truth. My husband's able to handle the situation with truth, and my kids are able to handle the situation with truth. And instead of having other people have to lead us, we're leading them through it. And even though it's hard, and it's something that I will say that I don't want to see anybody ever have to go through, okay? Even though it's really, really hard, what's been amazing is finding all of the little drops of love that scattered throughout this entire situation. It's caused me and my family to grow closer together. It's caused us to really reevaluate some things in our lives and having to sacrifice some things, but that's also brought us some blessings in other ways. Being able to have really deep and open conversations with my kids and my husband, we have grown stronger as a family. And I'm grateful that this has come my way, even though it's horrible. And it's not been fun to go through. I'm grateful for the drops of love that's come my way because of it. And those drops of love keep me sane. They help us move forward with faith, with truth, and with guidance. And instead of breaking us, it's not even come close to breaking us. So how do you feel about boundaries? It's a legitimate question. A lot of people come to me really struggling with this concept. They often feel guilty for setting boundaries, or they're not sure about even what a boundary is. They've heard the term, set the boundary, things like that, but that's really confusing for them because it's not something that's well taught in our society nowadays, right? They know that boundaries are really important to having healthy, constructive, supportive, and wonderful relationships, but why? And oftentimes they also know that they feel like their boundaries are being violated, but they can't quite pinpoint what the boundary is that's being violated. That's why I've created the Clarifying and Creating Your Boundaries free PDF. You can find out what your boundaries are, how to tune in to what the boundary needs to be, and how to effectively create and communicate your boundary so that way you stay in this place that respects you, respects the other person, but also gives you the confidence in your boundaries so that way you stop being gaslighted, disrespected, and unseen. Having your boundaries really clear gives you a voice and also helps the other person stay in accountability with themselves. So that's not a role that you have to take on anymore. So if you are ready to really have clear boundaries, to really understand what your role is in the boundary, and to give yourself some safety and some protection against people that might try to gaslight you or are just being disrespectful, go grab my Creating and Clarifying Your Boundary PDF at erinandersonthetraumacoach.com. And while you're there, let's schedule a call with me.
come have a chat with me so that way I can really, really help you master this particular skill, creating boundaries, clarifying the boundary, communicating that boundary, and so that way I can also help you have relationships that show up to support you, cherish you, and love you. And it's not because I'm any more amazing than anyone else. It's simply because I'm putting those daily deposits of faith, love, and joy back into my emotional bank account. And when I have giant withdrawals that come, it doesn't affect me as much as what it used to. That still means I need to make sure I'm putting in those daily deposits of love. But it's keeping my joy intact. It's keeping my peace intact. And that's really, really important because we don't know what the future holds. And so when we can be grateful for every single moment from the past and the now, it gives us hope for the future. But if we cannot be grateful for the now and the then, all we see in our future is hopelessness. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, my coaching is so powerful, is because we find the gratitude. We find these little drops of dew throughout, scattered throughout the entire journey up until the now. And we find the truth, because gratitude, truth, and love are all in one big, beautiful ball. And they all work on each other. Love covers the costs of the pain. 100% will cover the cost of the pain. And when we have love, we can have a truthful perspective. And that truthful perspective gives us more gratitude, and more gratitude gives us more love, and more love gives us a truthful perspective, and more truth brings us more gratitude. And the cycle perpetuates. This is a beautiful, wonderful cycle to be in, the gratitude cycle. Okay? So let's talk about how we can change our thoughts to grateful thoughts so that way we can get ourselves in the gratitude cycle instead of in the trauma cycle. Okay? Because if you remember with trauma, you've got your trauma and then you've got the re-triggering, the reaction, the blame, then you get the control, and then you get the re-triggering, and it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And what it'll spiral you downwards. And so once we can take the gratitude, the truth, and the love, it spirals us upwards, actually. And this is a major key to life, because any problem we come across, if we can realize that we're bigger than the problem, it might not seem like it at the moment. You might be looking up at that problem that's a level one problem. You're down here at like level 0.1, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. But if you're at a level 10, looking back down on the level one problem isn't so intimidating. Problems don't grow, but the human does. And so when we are in a consistent state of gratitude, truth, love, gratitude, truth, love, gratitude, truth, love, what ends up happening is we grow as a human. We grow as a spirit. We grow internally. And we literally, genuinely grow past those problems. And by universal law, anything that we desire to come into our space to continue this cycle of self-growth comes our way, and that includes money. Believe it or not, grateful people also are often very, very wealthy people. Not always, but often they are. And I love me
a grateful, rich person because, man, they are also very wise. I love learning from people like that, right? Because they can give me steps towards my own growth and my own journey. And I love listening to people like that. Excuse me. So if we take and put our grateful thoughts into that five-step thought process, right? If you remember the five-step thought process, if you don't, go back, it's in the previous episodes, but it's a ways down there. You'll have to look, but it's there. Okay. The five-step thought process is our circumstance, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and our results, right? And we tend to kind of get these things conglomerated and shoved together when we come to our circumstance, but we don't take the time to really think, okay, well, what are our thoughts about it? We're having an emotional reaction to get our attention, but what are we seriously thinking? Well, see, it doesn't matter what the situation is, what the circumstance was, right? So say like we have $10,000 worth of debt that is due by next Friday. That can definitely bring a lot of anxiety to the surface and a lot of fear and a lot of frustration and a lot of anger, right? Judgment, betrayal, like all of those feelings are right there. But if we can sit back and think to ourselves, hold on, what is the truth? How can I be grateful for this moment? I can be grateful for this because it's calling to me and saying I have the ability to create $10,000 by next Friday. I can be grateful for this moment because even if I don't create $10,000 by next Friday, I can thank myself for trying. I can forgive myself for not making that deadline. And I'm going to learn what I need to do to make sure I can create this. I'm going to get better at relationships. Remember, money, it comes from, like all money comes from relationships. Follow your dollars. They're always connected somehow to some kind of relationship. So I'm going to get better at relationships. And that cycle perpetuates. And all of a sudden, that anxiety, that fear, and that anger kind of calm when we get into these cycles of gratitude. And next thing we know, we're kind of feeling hope. We're feeling excitement. We're feeling peace, anticipation, and kind of almost a weightlessness. And with that comes clarity of what to do next. Because you cannot see clearly in a very, very disrupted body of water. However, when the water is very calm and very clear, you can see very clearly from there. So when we have clear thoughts and we have clear emotions, clear actions, we get clear results. It has to happen that way. That is the process of our results when we get to our goals, right? It comes from a clear action, clear emotion, and clear thought. So when gratitude becomes a habit, we start to develop joy. We start to develop truth. We start to develop love. And the result of that is a deep, unabiding joy that doesn't get left behind, that doesn't cause us to want to give it up. You know, I see people all the time when I'm coaching them that feel like the only thing they can do is to trade their joy to make somebody else happy and to get them off their back. I see this cycle all the time, right? And this is why
They can be gaslighted. This is why they're afraid to set boundaries. This is why they feel stuck in their lives. It's actually a consistent pattern that I find in people that are not just betrayed by their husbands, but betrayed by business partners, betrayed by children, betrayed by parents, betrayed by siblings, like any kind of betrayal. There's kind of a thought process behind it where they tend to trade their joy for people getting off their backs. And eventually that leads to them kind of like wanting to cast people aside. And I'm not saying that that's always wrong. I've had to let people go out of my life too. And it was a win-win for both of us. Like, it was best for them. It was best for me. Right. But oftentimes people are just really struggling. And when you become a safe person with yourself, you tend to kind of become a safe person for other people, which means you become really boundaried. You keep your joy with you. That's where, or with God, I should say. I mean, having a joy with you is great. Having joy with Christ, way better, right? And you keep the joy there. You don't take it and hand it to someone that can't handle it. Your joy was never meant to be someone else's joy. They are responsible for finding their own joy. But this is why it's important to have boundaries, is because people will try to take yours, right? And if you give it to them, or even if it gets snatched away from you, that's an invitation. Like, we can be grateful for that, because it's an invitation for you to figure out what boundary needs to be put in place. It isn't necessarily that you have to kick people out of your life, but it's an invitation for you to figure out, okay, what is the most loving thing I can do right now? Maybe I do need some distance. That's okay. But if that distance is used to punish someone, or if it's used to give yourself some clarity, two very different things. Giving yourself some clarity, that's a beautiful thing. And that's a boundary. That's a beautiful boundary that can really, really help you grow to your next levels. Grow past that problem, per se, right? And we tend to really cherish that joy. And like I said, joy is a result of that gratitude cycle. When we get into gratitude, then into truth, truth perpetuates to love. Love perpetuates to gratitude. Gratitude perpetuates, well, actually, it's the other way around, isn't it? Gratitude perpetuates love. Love perpetuates truth. Truth perpetuates gratitude, and so on and so on and so on. And so basically, it's all one thing. But that is a result of finding joy. A joy that we cherish. And from finding joys that we cherish, we want to keep those things safe. And that's where we put up some boundaries. Okay? Gratitude will teach you to live in the moment as well. We can be thankful for the past and excited for the future. But right now is all we really have. So what we choose to do in this moment was going to have a direct impact on what happens tomorrow. One of the things I tell my kids on a consistent basis, and, you know, they're teenagers, and so, you know, they're very much living in the moment kind of a thing, right? And they don't think about what things are going to be like in 5 or 10 years. And one of the things that I've been trying to teach them is this idea that they need to consider their future self. Like, whatever decision we make today is going to impact us tomorrow, and in a year, and in 5 years and in 10 years. So whatever decisions we make today needs to be made in mind of where we're going to be then and what we want to see happen then, right? Because otherwise, whatever decision we make can put us one step closer towards our goal or one step further from our goal. And it's really important when we sit in the gratitude in this moment, we can say to ourselves, we want to create more of this. We want to create more of this goodness, this feeling, this love, this wisdom, this truth. And so that'll cause us to start building some habits, some daily habits. You know, I'll give you an example. One of the things I love to do every single morning is prayer and scripture. And with six kids, my mornings are often very hectic, right? I also really like to walk and I like to do a lot of things, but it's too dark right now for me to go for a morning walk. I'm like, oh man, right? I'm kind of sad about it. And, you know, as soon as my kids go off to school, I have to get in. Well, I don't have to, but I get to get into the office and start working with clients. And, so oftentimes I don't find a lot of time to get out and do morning walks right now, but I always make sure to find time for prayer and scripture. But in the last couple of days, I have been really, really busy and I haven't taken the time to do that in the mornings. And I've been like, I'll just do it at night. And then I fall asleep. And I've noticed a major change in the way I've been feeling the last couple of days. And it's not a direction I wanted to go. And as I was contemplating this and really thinking about this, I've realized that I've let that habit slide, the prayer and the scripture. And in my prayers, I'm saying things that I'm grateful for. You know, I'm thanking the Lord. Well, I got back on that wagon today because I love living in gratitude. I love living in joy. I love talking about these things. And I do not want to sacrifice my joy in any way. And so it's really important that I make sure I put in those daily drops of goodness, those daily deposits of love, right? And the last thing I really wanted to say about gratitude and how it heals the broken heart is it's kind of like the Miracle-Gro of your garden. If you're planting a garden, you've got to rip out the bad, the weeds, right? You've got to break up the ground. That's going to be studying, sometimes doing the hard thing. But then you plant what it is you truly want, the truth. You water it with love and you feed it with gratitude. Gratitude is truly the miracle grow of our ability to change, to find the joy, to live our, like, not just a good life, but a top shelf life. It is our miracle grow. Because when hard things come in our lives, it doesn't necessarily mean we're the ones at fault. But if we're willing to humble ourselves and see how the hard thing can teach us and help us to become stronger, more humble, more patient, more teachable, and grateful. These are the pieces that put us in alignment to heal a broken heart. And when we heal, each piece that heals causes us to gain our confidence, to love ourselves a little bit more, to be thankful for what it is we're going through, to be proud of ourselves for overcoming something so hard. Remember, choose that hard. Gratitude is a miracle. It will help you grow past the pain, to put daily deposits of love in your emotional bank account. It truly is one of the greatest things I can think of to heal a broken heart. All right, my loves. Hopefully that was helpful for you guys. I love doing these podcasts for you. And I'm here to listen to you guys. If you have any questions, please let me know. You're welcome to head on over to Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching on Facebook and drop me a message if you've got a question or anything that you'd like me to do a podcast on. I'd be happy to. Also, the Unashamed Image course for November is full, but I will be doing another one come January. If you would like to be a part of the Unashamed Image, to learn about how to stop the gaslighting, how to gain your confidence, how to build boundaries, and what a solid boundary takes, really simple, and how to live a life unashamed, without guilt, then please hit me up, reach out to me, let's get you scheduled for a call. The link for the calls are in the description below. And let's see if we can't get you in the January Unashamed Image course. I promise you, you will love it. Okay, my loves, until next time, see you soon. See you on the other side, guys. Bye.
Okay, so I've got a question for you. Have you joined my free Facebook group or Instagram page yet? If you haven't, go and do that. And this is the reason why. I always post my freebies, updated information, and all kinds of goodies for my community in that page. I'm also really active. I post videos. I answer questions. So if you guys really, really want to get in and interact with me, go like me on Facebook. Go join my group, The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma. Come find me on Instagram, Erin Anderson, Betrayal Trauma Coach. And come follow me, because I always have something good there just for you, my audience. And I love connecting with you there. I also post anytime that I have groups going on. I talk sometimes about my programs. So if you guys are interested in working with me, or even just following me and getting as much free content as you possibly can, go hang out in my group. Go connect with the ladies that are there. Also come and join Immune and Unashamed for those married couples that are following me, because in that group, me and my business partner, Kyson Kidd, are also talking and offering some great content. Hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me today and listening in on this podcasting episode. Don't forget to tune in next week. It's gonna